A shocking explosion in Jay Leno's garage sends the icon to the ER with serious burns. How one of his vintage cars burst into flames. Will it be a long road back to the stage? And then spies on the rise in America. Our enemies are snooping on a spree of Cold War proportions. Human spies, cyber spies, wiretaps, and PIs. How even unsuspecting Americans are doing their dirty work. It is all straight ahead on Banfield. And welcome to the show. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat that I had a terrible cold. That's why I didn't see you all last week. And I still kind of sound like this. So we're just going to muddle through it. But I do want to start with breaking news tonight. Big breaking news. Katie Hobbs has just been declared the newly elected governor of Arizona. She beat her Republican opponent, Carrie Lake, 50.4 to 49.6. And that is what we call in the business a squeaker. Tonight's new batches of counted votes came in late and they pushed Hobbs far enough ahead whereby Carrie Lake just simply doesn't have the math on her side anymore. Back in October, you might remember Liz Cheney released an ad encouraging Arizona voters not to support Republicans and to support Democrats instead. Carrie Lake responded to Liz Cheney by tweeting, quote, "Enjoy your forced retirement." And so tonight, not to be outdone, Liz Cheney tweeted back, "You're welcome, Carrie Lake." Remember, Lake was a Trump-backed candidate who ran on a platform of election denying, a strategy that did not work out well for the Trump candidates across the country. And on the subject of Donald Trump, this time tomorrow night, every headline, every link, every alert on your phone is going to be screaming Donald Trump's name and his plan to take back the White House, or maybe get back at Republicans. And yes, I said get back at Republicans, as in get revenge on Republicans. Because it is entirely possible that Donald Trump saw all of the headlines last week, the headlines that showed the party has turned against him. It is entirely possible that Donald Trump is mad. Did he see the GOP daggers that were aimed squarely at the Trump 2024 banner that's hanging on his back? As a reminder of just a couple of those headlines from Republican media outlets, Trumpty Dumpty on the cover of the New York Post. DeSantis is de future the next day on the cover of the New York Post. Rupert Murdoch owned publications. And then there was this one, The Biggest Loser. That one came from The Wall Street Journal. Even the Macarena at Tiffany's wedding this weekend was not loud enough to drown out those headlines. They hurt. Trump is the Republican Party's biggest loser. Wall Street Journal opinion. That's got to hurt. And by the way, speaking of the wedding, we do have a whole bunch of pictures and some insider news on the big wedding that's coming up on the show. Also, the family member that got cropped out of the pictures. So that is a whole other side of the story. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first off, to the right, Donald Trump in the black tie. If during all the wedding celebrations and the hurricane and all the rest, Trump could hear the messages coming in loud and clear from the Republican Party, did it change the run of show for tomorrow's big announcement at Mar-a-Lago? We all expected tomorrow he's going to throw his hat in the ring for president as a Republican. But remember, he announced the announcement before the midterm disaster. And in particular, before the absolute thrashing that Trump's handpicked candidates suffered right across the country, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, Don Bolduc in New Hampshire, Blake Masters in Arizona, Adam Laxalt in Nevada, all of them Trump picks, all of them going down in flames. And then that bottom one, Herschel Walker, no celebration there yet either because he's headed for a runoff next month. But the net effect, Democrats held the Senate, and they held it firm, mostly because of these Trump-backed losses. And as for the House, not a whole lot of balloons falling there either. Just today, several prominent political analysts saying that the House is still in play and that the early comments that Republicans made about winning the House back may not age well. For example, here's Kevin McCarthy on election night.
But when you wake up tomorrow, we will be in the majority and Nancy Pelosi will be in the minority.
That did not exactly happen. And even though all week long, most analysts have said that the Republicans are going to take the House, albeit by a slim majority, those voices suddenly aren't quite as loud or quite as prominent today. And here is how one Donald J. Trump factored into the House equation. He endorsed six Republicans that were in toss-up districts. Five of them hit the skids. And the sixth one in Arizona is still too close to call, even with more votes dumping in tonight. And I don't mean votes dumping in. I mean counts of votes that were legal votes. They had until Saturday for the mail-in vote, and then today, I think, for the curing the ballots. So it took that a length of time. And then there's that lady on your right-hand side of your screen, the other thorn in Donald Trump's side, Liz Cheney, ruby red Republican, who made it clear that she would, quote, do whatever it takes to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. And she is making good on that threat, people. She backed two Democrats in these midterms, Democrats who were running against, you guessed it, Trump-backed candidates. And both of those Trump-backed candidates lost. Let's go over to Colorado for a hot second. Just 1,000 votes separating Lauren Boebert from her Democratic opponent. Lauren is a Trump candidate, and this race is not even supposed to be close, but it is too close for me to call tonight. This time last week, Donald Trump was the de facto leader of the Republican Party, but make no mistake, the midterm meltdown brought in some winds of change. Even Mike Pence did something that he doesn't usually do. On ABC, he criticized Donald Trump for January 6th. And when you see the long pause that he gives to David Muir before answering, don't adjust your set. It's not frozen. It's a long pause.
The president tweets, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done. It angered me. But I turned to my daughter, who was standing nearby, and I said, it doesn't take courage to break the law. It takes courage to uphold the law. I mean, the president's words were reckless. It was clear he decided to be part of the problem.
Ouch. You know, it's obviously pretty clear Trump is low on friends in the Republican Party. There is blood in the water and plenty of sharks. And you guessed it, many of them are in Florida, where Ron DeSantis lives, Trump's newly declared enemy. So what option does that leave Trump for tomorrow? Everybody knows how much Trump hates to lose, especially to a rising star like DeSantis. So would Trump risk the humiliation of losing the nomination to the Florida governor, the new star of the Republican Party? Might he instead have a scorched earth plan in mind? Run as an independent, split the conservative vote, sink DeSantis's chance of being president, and burn down the Republican Party as revenge for being disloyal to him. Whatever Donald Trump plans to announce tomorrow, he is going to get one big thing that he really, really loves. Big ratings. I want to bring in News Nation senior national correspondent Brian Enten, who has been watching this story very closely. So I am shocked, Brian, that at this stage, you know, 24 hours before we should know everything that Trump has to have said, that there's been no leak or rumor or something about what he actually plans to announce tomorrow.
Yeah, I think most people just sort of, you know what's likely going to happen. I mean, he said it over and over again that he intends to run for president. He just hasn't outright said it yet. So I don't think there'll be a lot of surprises tomorrow night here in Florida. But then again, it's Donald Trump. So who really knows? What's interesting, Ashley, though, is in light of everything happening with Trump and in light of everything that happened with the midterms, there are these new GOP power players that are emerging. You mentioned Ron DeSantis. No secret there. He's obviously the one getting a lot of attention. But there's a lot of other people, too, who aren't necessarily talking about it, but are certainly now thinking and possibly planning about a presidential run.
I'm going to be making a very big announcement.
We are just one day away from former President Trump's big announcement, but he is now very much sharing the spotlight with other newly emerging GOP power players.
We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob.
There is, of course, the obvious, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. A new super PAC called Ron to the Rescue is forming.
This may actually be the most important election in the life of our nation.
Former Vice President Mike Pence is also back in the public eye ahead of a new book launch. Pence told ABC News Trump endangered his family on January 6th.
I mean, the president's words were reckless. It was clear he decided to be part of the problem.
The stakes in this race could not be higher.
There are other obvious power players like Texas Senator Ted Cruz, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, and former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who will headline the Republican Jewish Coalition meeting this weekend.
This is a good night!
But then there are other names you may not immediately think of. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, a self-proclaimed moderate, says his rise is proof of America's rejection of extremism.
It's not new, right? Let's go back to the 2020 election. Joe Biden was the most moderate of all the candidates running on the Democrat side. He was deemed the most moderate of both he and Donald Trump. So America's been asking for more moderation for quite some time. There's just, you know, certain parts of the Republican Party that haven't listened so well. We just got to get back to basics.
Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin is also a GOP rising star after winning re-election. Trump views Youngkin as part of the conservative political establishment and posted to Truth Social that Youngkin's name, quote, sounds Chinese, a post that even some Republicans called racist. Youngkin responded this way.
Listen, you all know me. I do not call people names. I really work hard to bring people together, and that's what we're working on.
Okay, so tomorrow night, everyone will be watching closely to see what former President Trump has to say. But they'll also be watching closely to see how some of these Republicans react. What will their reaction to his statement be? What will Governor Ron DeSantis have to say about it? He stayed quiet so far, despite all of these attacks from the former president. He is obviously going to have to say something at some point. Ashley?
I mean, I can't wait, right? This is what politics is all about, politicking, especially when things sort of throw a curveball into whatever your plans might have been. So very exciting. We'll have you back, Brian, tomorrow to chew on whatever it was said at this time tomorrow night. Brian Enten live for us tonight. Thank you. So I want to bring in Monica Crowley. She is the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Trump administration and host of the Monica Crowley podcast. It's been forever and a day since I spoke to you, so I'm glad to have you on the show. Nice to see you again. How are you?
Nice to see you too, Ashley. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a delight to have you. Let's just start right there where Ryan Enten left off and where I was, you know, doing the whole wind up, because I kind of just could see Donald Trump saying, none of you Republicans has been loyal to me and I will show you. It is not out of his nature, is it, Monica?
Well, I think if, as expected, Ashley, he is going to announce that he's seeking the Republican nomination for 2024, if he does that tomorrow night, I think it's largely because he's got a lot of unfinished business, whether it was the first term or whether it was the 2020 election. I feel like Donald Trump believes that he has a lot more to do for the country, but also to clean up the historical record in his mind. And if that involves, you know, scoring some points against some fellow Republicans who did not support him, I think that might be all part of the play.
So what if the Republicans who did not support him ends up being a lot of Republicans who don't support him and have switched their allegiances to Ron DeSantis. You know what it takes to run, you know, for a nomination and then for president. You got to have the machine behind you. You got to have the Democratic machine or the GOP machine behind you firmly in order to be able to, you know, get through the race. If he doesn't have the GOP machine behind him, would he still do it?
Well, remember that this primary actually could resemble 2016 more than any other race, where there were about 16 Republicans, including Donald Trump, all running. And at that point, Donald Trump did not have the Republican machine. Very few people thought he would end up being the Republican nominee for president. He had formidable opponents like Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz. And now it could be a very similar dynamic, although the country has changed and the party has changed, and we've already been through a term of Donald Trump as president. So the dynamics have shifted since 2016, but it may in fact be like this wild primary where you have a lot of different voices coming at the issues and at the Republican base in a lot of different angles, Ashley. And, yeah. You know, Donald Trump is going to have to refresh the playbook, and maybe we'll start to hear a little bit of tomorrow night.
He's like Rasputin, right? Rah, rah. They keep trying to kill him, and he doesn't die. So I see that you're right. It could be a repeat of 2016. I want to just quickly play what Lara Trump said, his daughter-in-law, Eric's wife. She had something to say on Sky News that was pretty interesting about DeSantis. It was almost like a warning shot over the bow to DeSantis. Have a look at this.
I think he's a smart enough guy to know that it would be great to have all the support of this party, of the America First MAGA movement, whatever you want to call it, fully behind him in 2028, then possibly, you know, fracturing it in 2024. I can tell you those primaries get very messy and very raw. We've experienced that before. So wouldn't it be nicer for him, and I think he knows this, to wait until 2028?
Well, I definitely think that that was an interesting comment on Sky News, but there are a lot of people who would prefer somebody else without the baggage. Everything has changed since 2015. There are a lot of investigations. There could be indictments, all sorts of stuff, as you know, Monica. But here's the question. Is it at all possible that Donald Trump might actually say, to hell with all of you, I'm going to run as an independent, the Trump Party, whatever he wants to call it, and I'm going to make sure that I stay relevant. And I stay as a candidate running, therefore I avoid the, you know, possible indictment. And the rest of you can go to hell for what you've done to me.
Well, Ashley, anything is possible. And Donald Trump is certainly a showman, and he is certainly unpredictable. But I do think if he is serious about running for president and has a serious intent of serving as president, if he is reelected, he's not going to want to burn down the entire Republican Party. So, no, I don't think that's in the offing at all. I do think he's going to run within the party. And, you know, you are right. The dynamic is certainly different since 2016, certainly since 2020. And even over the last week, the dynamic has certainly changed given the midterm election results. So there is shifting ground beneath his feet. And the question is, does Donald Trump sense that? Does he understand it? And is he adaptable enough to move with those dynamic shifting tides and shift the style and the message to today? And that's a challenge any candidate faces. And the challenge will be for Donald Trump, and we will certainly see if he can pull that off again.
I can't wait to have you back. I've missed you. Thank you for doing this tonight, Monica.
A pleasure, Ashley. Thank you.
Okay, we'll have you back very soon. That is for sure. You know, it isn't just Trump who has to watch his back in Washington. There are plenty of flaming arrows that are flying around. A lot of questions about the future of both the political parties. Take Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Is he in danger because the GOP couldn't keep, you know, take over the control of the Senate? What about House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy? He declared victory a bit prematurely, and even if the GOP does eke out that slim majority in the House that most expect, he may not be a lock for that speaker's gavel that he has been dreaming about, right? There are Republican whispers that Steve Scalise or Andy Biggs might be a better fit, and I can tell you tonight, The Hill has some exclusive reporting that Andy Biggs says he will challenge Kevin McCarthy for the speakership. So he's got that on his plate. It's supposed to happen tomorrow, right? The vote. And what about the Democrats? If the GOP takes the House, is Nancy Pelosi even going to run for House leader again, especially after what happened to her husband, Paul? She intimated that that had an effect, and it will affect her decision. And then there's President Joe Biden. He turns 80 this Sunday. After a three-hour meeting with President Xi Jinping in Asia, pictures are taken today, looking pretty important, pretty presidential on the global stage. But in 2 years, is he going to have the same number of primary challengers that Donald Trump could have? I want to bring in Brett Bruen. He is the president of the Global Situation Room, and he worked in the Obama White House. Nice to have you, Brett. Thanks so much for being with me. Let me play something that happened just over the weekend. The former Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, Republican Speaker, had some pretty choice words for Donald Trump. Let me play that and get some comments from you on the other side. Take a look.
I think Trump's kind of a drag on our ticket. I think Donald Trump gives us problems politically. We lost the House, the Senate, and the White House in 2 years when Trump was on the ballot or in office. And I think we just have some Trump hangover. I think he's a drag on our offices and our races.
So that's what I keep saying. Whenever I see these big names coming out and, you know, going after Trump, then Mike Pence, you know, in that ABC interview, I keep thinking, how could Trump possibly think he could win the nomination? Is there a path for him?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'd like to pick up on something that Monica raised at the end of your interview with her, which is this stale factor. Trump, quite frankly, is starting to emanate a bit of that stale odor. I mean, he has tried out all of these old show tunes. None of them really seem to be working before the elections, and certainly afterwards, they're just hitting the wrong note. And I think that note is out of tune with where a lot of Republicans are right now. And it's not clear that he has any new plans, any new ideas. And Republicans are coming to grips with the idea that he has now lost them essentially two rounds of elections. And they have got to find a better standard bearer if they're going to have better results in 2024.
So let's talk about tomorrow is another vote. It's supposed to be the vote for the Speaker of the House. I'm shocked because there's still so many races that we haven't called, right? There's a whole bunch of House members who won't be there because they haven't even been elected yet for the vote. But what do you suspect is going to happen? I mean, Kevin McCarthy, everybody says he's been measuring the drapes forever, but now you have these challengers. Andy Biggs just announced exclusively in the Hill that he's going to throw in his hat. People whisper about Steve Scalise. Do you think he can eke through a win on this?
Well, Ashley, you'll recall the last time that Kevin McCarthy came painfully close to the speakership, and he almost seems something out of a rom-com where he gets to the prom, but he doesn't win the prom king title. And I think that's what, unfortunately, is likely to play out next. I mean, there's talk that the solution to all of this may actually not be Steve Scalise, may not be another Republican, but in fact, some Republican switching over to back a moderate Democrat because they simply are not going to be able to coalesce within the Republican caucus around any one candidate. I think there's just too many factions and too much in the way of division at the moment.
I have about 30 seconds left, but I've got to ask you about Mitch McConnell. Is he safe where he is as the minority leader?
I don't think you can lose the Senate again and hold on to your majorityship. I mean, he's a legend and obviously has an incredible track record. But whether or not he is the person to lead the Republicans at this moment, I think there are some clouds gathering over that side of Capitol Hill.
Great to have you, Brett Bruen, and thanks for being on the show. This is your first visit. We'll have to have you back for sure. I should make a correction too, Brett. I said that The Hill reported exclusively that Andy Biggs was throwing his hat in the race for the Speaker's gavel. It was actually, he announced it on Newsmax and The Hill reported it. So just to be factually clear, thank you for being with us tonight. Nice to see you.
You bet.
All righty. So still to come, Tiffany Trump's wedding managed to sidestep Hurricane Nicole. But did Ivanka steal the bride's thunder? Did the former president? Wait to see what he did. Next, an inside look at the Mar-a-Lago wedding of the year and which family member was literally cropped out of the picture. Every bride is the center of attention at her wedding, or at least should be. But when your last name is Trump, there are a lot of big personalities in the room commanding attention, too. On Saturday, Tiffany Trump married billionaire businessman Michael Boulos at Mar-a-Lago. Beautiful pictures, and she looked fantastic. This was big news from Page Six to People Magazine all the way to SNL.
Hi, Donald. Congratulations on Tiffany's wedding.
Who? Oh, yeah. It's okay. They're just doing the vows.
Don't you need to, like, walk your daughter down the aisle?
Missed it.
Tiffany is the former president's 29-year-old daughter with his second wife, Marla Maples. Compared to her half-siblings, Don, Eric, and Ivanka, all of whom made the wedding, she's almost like a private citizen, far from her dad's inner circle. So far, in fact, that the Twitter hashtag Poor Tiffany was trending. Commentary on her supposed black sheep status in the family. Many tweets called her not Ivanka. To that I say, not fair. She's delightful. Others showed pity that her dad chose to give his signature thumbs up in the wedding pictures, turning her special day instead into a CPAC poster. At the rehearsal dinner, it was Ivanka who stole the show, wearing this midriff-bearing dress by designer Miu Miu. But the crop top headlines were soon replaced with a photo crop scandal when Ivanka posted this picture on Instagram. Look at the one on the left, and then look how it was posted on the right. Oh, boy. That's her brother's fiancé in the black dress on the far right, Kimberly Guilfoyle, and she got cropped out of the Insta post. And then there was this tweet to cap off the night. Can't believe Nevada is Tiffany Trump something blue, referring to a key race that was called on her wedding night that gave the Democrats the Senate. I want to bring in Rob Shooter. He's the host of the Not Even Nice podcast. He's been close with the Trumps. Okay, Rob, what's the inside scoop on everything that happened at Mar-a-Lago at the wedding?
I have friends who were invited to the wedding, and I had to hear every single detail of this like a soap opera. They told me it was just a lovely, lovely day. And even people that don't support him can say that just for this maybe one day, he put his ego aside a little bit and focused on his daughter. So there were some reports that he was in a terrible mood. He was furious. I'm told that is not the case. He had a big smile on his face. He was marching around the place, very proud. He had a first dance here with his daughter. So I'm told the wedding went off. The day was as perfect as could be.
Oh, she looked fantastic, honestly, just gorgeous. And so quick question, did Trump make a speech, and did Melania and Marla Maples get along? Because they were both there.
Good questions. He did make a speech, and he was terribly proud about his daughter, everybody there in the room. He's really, really sweet, dare I say, when it comes to his children. This is when he gets the most emotional. He warned the new member of the family, Tiffany's new husband, that he better treat his daughter very well. There was a big laugh when he said that. And also, too, there was a joke about the weather. The hurricane was coming, and he said he was thinking about putting a tent up in the garden, but that cost too much money. So they decided not to do it. And in the end, they didn't need that tent. And the two ladies in his life, his ex, Marla Maples, and his current wife, Melania, they did get along. They're not close friends.
Good.
They're not hanging out together, but they did get along.
By the way, Marla Maples looks incredible. Look at her. She doesn't age. Like, there's a painting in an attic somewhere. She is so beautiful. Right? I mean, crazy beautiful.
Right.
Quick question. The crop gate. I've got to ask you about the crop gate. People complained about Ivanka's crop top Miu Miu designer dress. And then they complained that Kimberly Guilfoyle was cropped out of the picture. So those are two issues you're going to have to handle at the same time.
Yeah, two different issues here. So here she is. That is the rehearsal dinner. So that is not what she wore to the wedding. And yeah, you know, it's a little revealing, but she works very, very hard. A mother of three children. She works very hard to get those abs and wanted to show them off. I'm told, too, that her sister, Tiffany, sort of loves this about her sister Ivanka, that she does this. So I don't think anybody was upset in the room. In fact, I think they were dazzled by this. And also, to a little bit of a faux pas, there was a family photograph taken of all the ladies when Ivanka posted this on social media. one of those ladies, Kimberly, got cut out. That's her brother's girlfriend. I'm told here that it wasn't so much that she has bad feelings towards Kimberly, but rather she just didn't get the memo about the dress style. Everybody there is in pastels. Kimberly wore black, and that didn't cut it on at least the Instagram, but she updated it a little bit later.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wore black to my brother's wedding because it was a really pretty dress. It was a Princess Di black taffeta dress back in the 80s, and I loved it, and they loved it. So I am not going to throw shade on Kimberly Guilfoyle. She looks great, too. The dress looks terrific on her. But, okay, I got to ask you about, you know, first of all, before I ask you this next question, I do want to say that Tiffany added a little bit more bling to her ring. She got an upgraded model from the 13-carat emerald cut ring that Michael Boulos originally proposed with. So the question is, how much bigger was the ring? And how much is it worth? I'm going to answer that question for the viewers at the end of the show. But I'm going to ask you about some other breaking news, Rob, and that is Jay Leno. He's in a burn center tonight after the gasoline fire at the garage where he stores his car collection, apparently suffering serious burns on the left side of his face. A source saying that his eyes and his ears were unhurt. But a few months ago, I just want to show you, Jay Leno joined me on this program where he talked about his beloved car collection. He also talked about his relationship with Johnny Carson when Jay beat out David Letterman for The Tonight Show. Have a look.
I think it's no secret Johnny was not consulted when we were replaced on The Tonight Show. I think he wanted Dave. Everybody knew that. But we got to be quite good friends. In fact, do you remember a special in 1982 called Johnny Goes Home? And in that special, Johnny goes back to his hometown in Nebraska, and NBC found the car that Johnny drove to his high school prom, and they gave Johnny the car. And when Johnny died, he left me the car in his will, and it's in my garage here. So that's sort of a keepsake that I really treasure.
So, Rob, any updates on his condition tonight?
Yeah, he's just issued a statement saying he's going to be okay and he needs a couple of weeks to get back on his feet. So it's a good sign here that he has put out a statement. Also, too, this is not his garage like you or me. He has over 100 cars. This is a special garage that he has away from the house. And so now we don't know exactly what happened there, what caused the fire, but we probably will soon.
Okay, I am totally not letting you go before I ask you about your puppy dog in the background. Who is he? What's his name? I've got to go, but you got to tell me.
It's Darby. He's a wire fox terrier. He says hello.
Darby decided he needed his 15 seconds, and he got it. Rob Shooter, good to see you. Thank you for the updates. Appreciate it.
Take care, my friends. Bye-bye.
Night-night, Rob and Darby. Coming up, the land of opportunity for spies. America's enemies are trying like never before to gain information and influence inside our borders. We're going to show you how they're doing it and how they're getting caught when we come back. Welcome back. China has found a new way to spy on political dissidents living in America. Hire an American private investigator. American! Chinese operatives are reportedly hiring American PIs to track down and threaten their targets, all the while hiding who they are from those PIs, meaning Americans might be spying for China without even knowing it. Let that sink in. According to the New York Times, it's happened in several states from New York to California. And when the feds find out, it is not just the Chinese who end up getting charged. No, it's the Americans. A former NYPD officer turned private investigator faces charges for helping coerce a New Jersey man to return to China. Two Homeland Security agents turned private investigator were indicted for stalking and harassing a Chinese dissident who was running for Congress in New York. The experts say overall, China's spying in America and spying on Americans is at breathtaking levels. Still, after his first face-to-face meeting with the Chinese president, Joe Biden today insisted that there is no Cold War.
And I'm not suggesting this is kumbaya, you know, everybody is going to go away with everything in agreement. But I do not believe there's a need for concern of as one of you raised the legitimate question, a new Cold War.
So do you think spies wouldn't bother with you or your family? Have you heard of TikTok? Its Chinese parent company, ByteDance, has long been suspected of tracking everything from your browsing history to your biometrics, and get this, even your face ID. You may not have heard of PushWhoosh, but it develops code that runs thousands of smartphone apps for Apple and Google, and it's headquartered in Siberia. So does our country really have a handle on foreign espionage and how much it's morphed? Do Chinese and Russian and Iranian dissidents have to watch their backs even when they're here in America? Got the answers next. Thank you, Chris Cuomo. Looking forward to it. Hey, are there more spies on America's streets these days? And maybe more specifically, inside your digital devices, like the thing you probably have in your hand right now. Both Russia and Iran are said to be stepping up their spy game in alarming ways, but they have nothing on China. The FBI has said it opens a new investigation into Chinese spying every 12 hours. Every 12 hours. I'm joined now by Charity Wright. She's a former Chinese linguist and intelligence analyst for the U.S. Army and the National Security Agency. And Laura Ballman is an international business consultant and former CIA operations officer. Welcome to you, ladies. Charity, I'm going to start with you with a very simple question. Do we even know how bad the problem is right now of Chinese spying? And if we do, do we have the resources to actually combat it?
I think we do, Ashley. Espionage has been a problem coming from China, you know, targeting the U.S. for a very long time. Now we have private sector threat intelligence companies partnering up with the public sector and the investigators to really get down into the tactics, techniques, and procedures they're using. So I feel like we are very prepared, and I think authorities are doing a great job at using that intelligence to find those spies.
So here's something that kind of freaked me out. And Laura, I'm going to ask you about this. There was an intelligence law in China, I guess, passed in 2017. And it requires all organizations and citizens to support, assist, and cooperate with national intelligence efforts. Again, that's the law for Chinese citizens, that every citizen has to support intelligence efforts, which makes me wonder if every Chinese citizen that visits America is then effectively a spy.
No, they're not. That said, one of, you know, CIA Counterintelligence 101 is you identify spies based on behavior, red flags in how they conduct themselves, with whom they associate, their patterns of life. It is not based on the color of their skin or their race. That said, sure, certain people have affinities for certain nations. We all have a history in the United States. We are all immigrants. We all come from someplace. And that it should be celebrated, but it also is something we need to watch from a CI perspective. And piggying back on what Charity said, I mean, with an $89.8 billion budget for intelligence, we definitely have the resources to handle this.
Well, that's good to hear. Although I have to say, half the time, I don't necessarily think it's spies that we're looking for. We're actually holding them in our hands at all times. And honestly, Charity, I just wonder, most people are just not prepared not to have TikTok. And they're not prepared to, you know, watch their conversations when they're around their cell phones. But should we be, or should we increasingly be considerate of what our phones might be able to hear and then transmit to someone we don't want to hear?
I think China's after a lot of big data on many apps that you're using on your phone, not just social media. I think it's always good to be aware of what you're discussing, and using encrypted messaging apps makes you a lot safer. But you also have to consider, are you likely to be targeted by the Chinese government? Not everyone is targeted. So they're looking at, you know, specific individuals with access to sensitive information. So depending on your access to that kind of information at work, you might want to take further precautions.
So I've got 30 seconds left, but Laura, what is behind China's spike in capability and penetration in spycraft?
Technology.
The MSS has always been a worthy adversary in intelligence, but like the rest of the world, they are capitalizing on technological advances.
I guess that means we should be careful of our TikTok. I have to say, sometimes I'm so paranoid, I don't take my phone into the bathroom because I'm just terrified about what it could be hearing. Charity Wright and Laura Ballman, thank you so much. It's good to have you on.
Thank you, Ashley.
Coming up, I did promise you, we got this story about Tiffany Trump's added bling to her ring. Before she went down the aisle, she had a different ring. Now she's got something much bigger. But just how much is the second rock worth? We've got the stats and the specs on the bling coming up next. Welcome back. Tiffany Trump's fiance put a ring on it, and then he put another one on it. The bride got a major upgrade on her engagement ring for her wedding. Got the engagement ring? They got a different one going down the aisle. But how much was the upgrade? So the original rock, and I'm assuming it's this one with the proposal at the White House in the Rose Garden, was a 13-carat emerald cut diamond ring estimated to be worth more than 1.2 milbos. The one that actually walked down the aisle had a larger center stone and bigger side stones, and it's apparently worth a cool 1.5 million. So he trumped the engagement ring. How do you like that? Yes, I went there. I said that. Just want to let you know real quickly that coming up on Cuomo, are both sides of the political environment equally toxic? Chris has some thoughts. He's going to talk about that. And I have some thoughts, too. Here it is. We are projecting with DDHQ that the GOP now has 217 seats in the House. They need 218, and it's expected likely by tomorrow. There's two seats in California that are leaning Republican, so that's highly likely. The Colorado race, the Boebert race, still pretty tight, but it is looking more than likely GOP will probably take the House by tomorrow. Again, DDHQ saying they projected 217 GOP seats. That's it for me. I'll see you tomorrow.